Welcome, everyone. First of all, thank you for being here, coming all the way from wherever you were to here. It's so beautiful just to feel the willingness in each of you and meeting you in some of the interviews and seeing some of the registration forms. And just feeling this these many reasons that you wrote why you wanted to come here to rest, to wake up, to be near the mountain, to know more about yourself, to quieten the mind as an experiment, and many, many, many others, other whys. So I hope all these wishes will be fulfilled. But also I hope that the openness to other things coming through remain, like the frogs. We were not counting on the frogs when we came to see this place before. Everyone put the mattress and everything. Probably most of us never guessed that these people will be singing at the same time when we are trying to be in silence. So it feels like this, all the wishes that we have for this retreat, so precious, and also the openness to any other thing that may come, that maybe later we find that maybe it's even more precious than what we were wishing for. So I'm here, and my name is Gemma, and I'm very happy to be with John Sid and Ajay and Jaya, which is putting Jan to sleep, the little boy. Cannot be left alone, so we have to play. We have to invent. And because John Sid is invited to share with all of us this in this retreat, then I would like very much if he says a few words about what he feels this is about or whatever is there.
I left my job as a systems engineer for IBM in 1973 and travelled to India, where I studied meditation with some lamas in Nepal and vipassana with Goenka at Bodh Gaya, and then returned home to Australia where, with friends, we built a meditation centre at the Channon, and then built a community and organised meditation retreats, and my life was revolved around meditation for about 7 years. And then in 1979 I found myself in the middle of a direct action in defence of rainforests at Terania Creek in northern New South Wales, just a few miles from my home. And my whole life got turned around once again. And my only practice for many years became activism, and in particular, direct actions in defence of rainforests in different parts of Australia and then in different parts of the world. We had a lot of success in those early years, and following our efforts, national parks containing rainforests sprang up in New South Wales, in Tasmania, in Queensland. But it also became clear that these rainforests, which are the very womb of life, containing more than half of the species of plants and animals in the world, were disappearing at a horrendous rate, that less than a single human lifetime remained at the current rates of destruction, and that there was no way to save them one forest at a time, that for every forest that was being saved, 1,000 forests were being lost. And so I began to look for the underlying spiritual disease that allows modern humans to think that we can somehow profit from the destruction of our own life support systems. And in this inquiry, I discovered a philosophy called deep ecology. And I guess the only thing I want to say about it is that to deep ecology, the fundamental problem is the illusion of separation between human beings and nature. And that stemming from this illusion, all of the environmental destruction takes place. The man who coined the term deep ecology pointed out that ecological ideas are not enough to deal with this, that we need an ecological identity. And so began my search for processes that could nourish ecological identity and that could dispel this illusion of separation between human beings and nature. And I discovered that every indigenous society, every intact indigenous society, has ceremonies and rituals that allow the human family to remember our interconnectedness with the rest of the earth family and thereby hold that connection, honour that connection, and prevent the kind of drifting away from ecological identity into merely social identity that takes place so much in the modern world. So I'm looking forward to sharing in the next few days some of the processes and some of the guided meditations that I found useful in this regard. Thank you.
So, welcome to everyone. Somehow, we have given ourselves gift of these 10 days to be together. And somehow, some point in our life, each of us individually felt that the way I am living life, that is not fulfilling. Somehow my connection to my roots is not there. And of course, like we know when a tree is not connected from the roots, what happens to tree. And probably something like that. Like a that kind of feeling we felt, that although, you know, everything is good, or all circumstances are good, but somehow my heart is not feeling fulfilled. And and of course, like, not knowing what will fulfill this kind of like urge we have, like, we, of course, each individual has tried many, many ways, you know, like, of course, and somehow this time we will try to connect to our roots. And certainly when I'm saying this, there is, like, if we really try to feel, you know, where are the roots, probably none of us can feel the roots. Because as human, somehow we have learned to live only via our learned way, like, you know, and in order to live life via learned way, somehow our connection got lost. So what I'm trying to say that like, if we again use these 10 days to connect to our roots via a learned way, via like what we know, probably again we will miss chance. Because roots are somewhere other than what we know. So my feeling for these 10 days, because already we have given ourselves the gift of these 10 days, so if we can give another gift to ourselves, that I will try to be, like, I will try to be, but not known ways, you know, like, whatever we know, whatever we have experienced, whatever, like, is the past, we try not to be with that. And of course, like, when we try not to be with that, and because already this connection with roots is not there, so there will be like a discomfort, you know, because somehow what we knew, we are not connecting to that, and what has to come has not come yet. So if we can give another gift to ourselves, that, you know, I will just pass this time of discomfort without being engaged into something else. Because in life, we have experienced many times discomfort, and because of this comfort, we always try to engage ourselves with something else. So this time, if we can give another gift to ourselves, that, you know, I'm not going to engage me, but feel the discomfort and let it be. And probably like we will find ourselves, you know, somehow miraculously connected. Like if we manage to pass this time of discomfort without engaging ourselves into something else. So my wish is if we can somehow be with this kind of mindset that I am not here to achieve anything from these 10 days and see, like if something comes, and in order to make these 10 days fruitful, it will be good if we, in these 10 days, if we don't read, don't write, you know, don't talk to each other, if, you know, these are very, very helpful areas, but don't, like, not to restrict, like, you know, with very much power, you know, like, try to tell us with, like, with an intelligent way, you know, so that it's not like forceful. We are not doing this forcefully. So generally, when we go to retreat, it's generally go to practice a way, you know, like we join a retreat to practice. And here I'm asking you, like really being without any practice, you know, without any kind of known way. So is like somehow is different than going to any other retreat, because there is like a known way and everyone practice that way. And here I'm asking you to leave all known ways and be without any kind of like knowledge, without any knowing, without any whatever you feel that is right, you know, not really try to do right in these 10 days, and maybe something out of blue comes, some connection happens, hopefully. So thank you.
I'm very happy to be here with you. Thank you for being here. My name is Jaya. And I just love this place. And I love this sound. And I just want to state my wish, that I wish that these 10 days together can be a turning point in our lives. And I know that that could easily inside set up a kind of tension of expecting that this could be a turning point in my life. But I hope it could be a turning point in a different kind of way, like turning in to find everything in us. Can you hear okay? Not quite. So I'm not sure if it has been said yet, but that one thing that's important for us is we're not sitting up here as experts but here really as friends. And if there's any question, whether it's I didn't hear that word or I don't understand that English word or whatever, please let us know that you didn't hear or understand and we can go back to that word. I think that we have a chance here to rest in many different ways. So really to rest in a simple way, like we're tired and we sleep. Or we notice tension and we remember we are allowed, we have permission to try or at least see if we could relax a little bit. And if that happens several times in these 10 days, that's also very good. If we can really just rest, sleep well. And sometimes remember that we're allowed to relax, whether physically, whether emotionally, whether with our persona, in whatever way. We could start to feel that we're actually allowed to be alive. We're allowed to be what we already are. And I don't mean that only in some kind of ultimate way, but also in just a simple, simple way. In my favorite book called The Yoga Vasishth, there's a question and an answer that happened several times during this very long book, where the student, whose name is Ram, asks his teacher, Vasishth, people say that the world is not real, and I don't get it. What are they talking about? And Vasishth says, it's not that the world is unreal. It is our way of receiving the world that is illusory, our way of taking it in. So it seems important to start to feel into this area of how we perceive, how we receive the world. The Buddha actually said that perception is the personality. Perceptions, not just of sound, light, form, taste, etc., but perceptions of even the most subtle experiences are what we call personality, and personality is nothing other than that perception, that way of taking things in. I don't want this to sound like I'm talking about something that's beyond you. It's just simple perception that's happening now. You're hearing me, or you're listening to the frogs instead, which is probably a good idea. You're tired, whatever you're perceiving, that's perception. What could be a way that we're not blocking out what's coming, what's happening in this life? We're not blocking out perception. But that perception is not becoming a wall between me and you, or between me and a world. And one very useful trick that we can play with is just really resting. Resting back, resting down, resting wide, resting open. Noticing when our way of trying to pay attention to the breath or to the sound or to what is perception is a kind of leaning forward and trying to grab hold of the concept, what is perception, or the sound of the frog, or whatever. And we could just have these days to see when we notice ourselves kind of leaning forward and trying to do it, just, if we can, sometimes fall back again. And not do it. So sometimes we might even feel that tension of reaching forward, and at the same time we can rest back. It's not a big deal. That tension is going on. But we don't have to be with our faces in it necessarily. So even when there's tension, resting back. There's a man named Jacques Luceron who lived in the 20th century in France, whom I never met, but I just love him. And he was in an accident when he was 7.5 years old and became completely blind. And a few days after completely losing the sight from his eyes, he discovered a way of seeing anyway. And he said that being physically blind was simply a practical kind of challenge, a practical, we could say, problem. Depends on how we perceive a situation, if it's a problem or not. He said it's his greatest happiness that he was blinded at the age of 7.5. Sometimes he's pointing out that sometimes when we really want to see someone or see something, sometimes we close our eyes or we half close our eyes so that we're not leaning forward into that superficial vision of what we see, but we're able to feel also, to see, feel a person, a situation, a place, a thing, ourselves, an experience, whatever. So here we have a chance where we can rest back from the abundance of amazing colors and sounds that we could get involved in a way. We could try to catch them. And what Jacques Lucéron is really suggesting is what happens if you really rest back and have confidence that you are so much living and so much, I would say, loved by this life, that it will come to you. Whatever we need will come to us, and simple perception will come to us. But real, genuine perception, not the reaching forward, trying to make it fit my expectation kind of perception. Maybe a kind of perception that's not personality, in other words. The other day in a translation class in Lucknow, Ajay just made this really beautiful translation. And just pointed out two currents that we all have inside of us, or two flows of being, you could say. And one is what he called the flow of specialness. That when we get into that, we're more demanding from life to treat us as special. So we're demanding from life. We're maybe a little bit high up in our body and reaching forward, trying to get. And then the current of ordinariness. Which allows us really just to see what we see, to hear what we hear, to feel what we feel, to know that we belong. What I find with the current of ordinariness is so much fullness. Not the need to rush and try to catch everything. Letting it come. Letting it be. Letting it also flower in us. Letting life flower in us. And when we are letting our genuine seeing happen, our honesty happen, our ordinariness happen, this fullness, sometimes we may see things that we didn't want to see. We can realize, oh, that's why I was trying to be someone. I didn't really want to feel this or see this in myself or in others. We may see someone's anger that they're hiding with a smile. We may see someone nervous and then putting on arrogance. But I think our genuine eyes, our genuine ability to feel, see, can really see the whole lovable person, whether it's oneself or someone else, the whole lovable life. So that we're actually in a friendly place, even when there's unfriendliness going on. This, what Ajay was calling the current of ordinariness, has a tendency to allow us sometimes to go slowly, not always to go faster and faster. To actually feel the abundance of things, to feel the abundance of the night air on the skin. The abundance of just touch. So Jack Kornfield, who is a famous meditation teacher, talked about coming back from the East, from many years in the East practicing, going back to the United States, and having to, what he called, moving down the chakras. Usually we talk about wanting to go up. And if someone's only working on their second chakra, poor thing, because we're working on our sixth. And the higher, the better. But he realized that he was really only thinking about these higher ideas. And he had to actually start to come down to the heart, to the body. And I would say also, like, kind of rewinding from seeing, hearing, slowly, like, feeling how each of our senses is really a touch sense. Let ourselves be touched by this world. And when we cannot let ourselves be touched by this world, sometimes we cannot. Maybe we could find a way of seeing and feeling that clearly. Sometimes giving a kind of embrace to that fearfulness. And without pushing it, encouraging it, it could sometimes open. It could sometimes receive this life. The last thing that I feel to say this evening is a conversation that I had with my mother a couple of years ago. Excuse me. When I told her that I was planning to get pregnant, if I could, she had long given up on grandchildren, so she was completely shocked. But in this one phone conversation, she was maybe pre-shocked. And we were able to actually talk. And I said that a lot of the decision to try to get pregnant, to try to have a child, had something to do with trusting and loving life. And she said, my mother said that about me. My mother was born to her mother right after World War II. And my grandmother, her mother, said, even so, I trust life this much, to have her first child, which was my mother. To trust life enough that even though it seems like a world we might not want to bring any new people into, it's too crowded, it's too polluted, etc. On top of that, it will make your life chaotic. You'll never be the same again. You'll never have time to yourself, etc. And anyway, something where life demands from us that we dedicate our lives to life. So it's not, I don't mean to say everyone have babies, whatever it is that life is calling for from each of us. What I hope for is we could take this as a metaphor for in each moment, feeling this kind of calling. To feel the kind of richness of what's already here that we're usually too busy for. And to feel what is this richness, this splendor that's only available by turning in. That then we find is not locked in us. That only our perception of being someone separate made us run to look outside or run to look inside. So it's a different kind of looking in, not a running to look inside, away from, resting in, falling in. As if this would be the first time hearing the sound of what we probably think we could think is probably a truck. If we could stay and rest back and let the sound come through us. I think that if we really try to do that, just there's a sound that's probably a truck. If we could let the sound really come into us or pass through us. I think that there can be a feeling of like, yes, that's possible for a few seconds. One more second, one more second, one more second, one more second. Life is, there's so much chaos. And we want so much to defend ourselves. And just to find in ourselves the courage to stay with that one more second, one more second, one more second. As if it's the first time I'm hearing the sound. And I don't have to then explain it to anyone or put it in any place, in its place. We don't need to just digest our experience through the mind, verbally, but really eating our own experience. And letting our love for life take over.